day, and it wasn't till I was standing in the kitchen with the bally shoes in one hand and the boxing gloves round me neck that I thought, what have I done? What was I going to do with them shoes? If Dad caught me with them, he'd bloody kill me. Nan was there waiting for me. Oh, bally shoes, she said, her little old face all lighten up. I used to dance. I could have been a professional. Don't tell Nan, will you? I begged, although it wouldn't make any difference. No one takes any notice of what she says. I ran upstairs and lifted the mattress off to stuff them under there. But I was only halfway through when Dad came in. Shit! I never knew he was at home. I stuffed the bally shoes under me just in time. What are you doing, crawling about like creeping Jesus?
Nout.
Where have you been, anyway? We found you now round at the spa.
Boxing? Where do you think?
He stared down at me. I was lying on the bed, keeping the shoes hidden under me, trying to look normal-like.
What are you doing? He demanded.
I forgot my gloves. I thought they might be under the bed. I peered down over the edge of the bed as if I was looking underneath it. He looked at me, then at the floor, then back at me. Then he pointed to the gloves lying there next to the bed.
What's them, then?
Oh. Right. He stood there looking at me, waiting for me to move, I expect, but I couldn't. I felt like a prat.
You watch out for them gloves. They were me dad's.
I know.
Right.
He walked out. Hey, that was a close call. If me dad ever catches me doing ballet, he'll bloody kill me. I won't do it for long, though. Just for a bit. Just until I get that spin right. Then I'll go down the boxing hall and shoot someone's head right off.
I knew there was something funny going on. Billy is my son, and I stand by him till the day I die. But, put it like this, he's a bit of an individualist, Billy. He's always got these weird things he's trying to do. It used to be balancing a stick on the end of his nose. He was only 8 or so. Then there was the cardboard box. He used to sit in it singing to himself. That's just kids, you might say, but Billy was 10. I'd not be seen dead in a cardboard box when I was 10. It was when his mother was ill, so perhaps that's understandable. But what about the neck twisting? That went on for ages. He turned round and looked behind him, twisting his neck round as far as he could, over and over again. He said it was just a habit. But what sort of a habit is that? It's not like picking your nose or biting your nails. Once I took him to the cinema, and he spent the whole time twisting round in his seat. He was just stretching the muscles in his neck. But the woman behind didn't know that. She thought he was staring at her. It was so embarrassing. You can't stop him. He can't stop himself. Your son's staring at me, she said. Aye, and I paid good money for this film, I told her back. It was football for a while. That was okay. He used to go out into the street and practice flipping the ball over his head with his feet, or keepsie-upsies, or something like that. He was never all that good on the pitch, mind, but at least it was good, healthy practice, the sort of thing you'd expect for a kid of his age. Now it was spinning round in circles. He denied it at first, but I kept catching him at it. In the kitchen, in the hall, in the yard, in his bedroom. All the bloody time. Staring into space like an idiot, holding out his arms and then hurling himself round in a bloody great spin and falling over half the time. I sent him out to make tea once, and when he didn't come back for ages, I went to have a look. There he was, staring away, just about to go off. Billy, I said, just as he let himself off, and he went spinning round, trying to look over his shoulder at the same time, and he went crashing into the table and sent the lot flying, milk everywhere, sugar upside down, mugs broken. Tony came rushing in from the hall. What are you doing, man? I'm just practising a spin. It's a boxing move, he said. It's not like any boxing move I've ever seen, I told him. Boxing move. It was another one of his stupid habits. Now don't start doing that all the time, I warned him. You'll wreck the bloody house doing that. Aye. And who's going to pay for those mugs and all? You've got no bloody sense, goes Tony. All right, Dad. All right. But of course he didn't stop. He can't help himself once he gets going. He's like a bloody rabbit with the eyes too big or something. At least he started doing it outside after that. He was pretending to do boxing practice. But was he heck? I crept out into the yard to have a look. And there he was. Same old thing, arms curved out to one side. Then he flung him round and went hurtling round in a circle. The weird thing was, the way he was staring into space. And the gloves. Aye, he had the gloves on. He looked like a bloody madman. He scares me sometimes, our Billy. I don't know what to make of him. I went out and had a word with him. What are you doing, son? You look like you're having a fit or something. I'm practicing, Dad. No, you're not practicing. Practicing what? Looking like a fanny. Don't you care what people think of you? It's just a bloody spin. Well, don't do it. Not out here where people can see. But you told me not to do it in the house. Just don't do it, that's all, okay?
This ends Disc 1. Billy Elliot, Disc 2.
I didn't see it so much after that, but I knew he was still at it. I could hear him falling about all over, banging on the landing, crashing about in the kitchen. I was forever yelling, "Stop bloody banging!" He fell in the bath doing it one time. It was his Sunday night bath. There was this almighty splash, and when I went up, there he was, staring at himself in the mirror, fully dressed, soaking wet, arms out, ready to have another go. "You're doing that again," I told him. "I fell in the bath, that's all," he said. I didn't bother saying any more. I just rolled my eyes and left him do it. He had me worried then. I had a word with Susan Harris down the road, but she reckoned I should take no notice. "He's just a lad. He's only 12. He's still a baby, really," she said. "Let him be, Jackie. He'll be all right. He needs to let off steam somehow." She brought up four of our own, Susan, so I thought she knew best. I suppose it's not the sort of thing your dad lets you do, but maybe a mam would turn a blind eye. I'll give him this, though, our Billy. He did it. Whatever it was he was trying to do, he did it. I was coming back home from the shops with a pint of milk in me pocket, and there he was in the yard doing his stuff. I stood and watched, bolt upright, staring at the wall, arms out. Bang! Round he went, two or three times. I couldn't count, he was going so fast. And then came to a stop, like a slam door. Bang! Yes! He was so made up, I couldn't help smiling. Yes, yes, I did it, I did it, I did it! He went dancing around the yard, stamping and whooping. I never saw a kid so happy. "You did it, then," I said, and he nearly fell over. He'd been so concentrated he never noticed me. "Oh, God, Dad. Oh, you scared me." "Aye, so you've done it, then, have you? Watch." And he had another go. But he couldn't do it this time, not with me watching. He was all over the place. "I did it just then, though. Did you see me?" "Yeah, pretty good stuff. So have you tried it down the boxing club yet, then?" "No, not yet." "Are you going to?" "Soon as I've got it right each time." He was already standing there having another go. "So is this something George taught you now, Billy?" "George? No, I made it up myself." "Did you now? And what does he think about it?" Billy looked sideways at me and grinned. "He doesn't mind. He just lets me get on with it." "Right. Well, you'll have a surprise for him next Saturday then, won't you?" "Jesus, poor old George will have a heart attack." Well, I didn't have the heart to ask Billy how it went. I knew what had happened. He'd get away with it a couple of times and then someone would come up and whack him while he was spinning round defenceless. He was going round so fast. All he'd have to do was hold your glove out and he'd knock his own block off for you. It'd be like putting a stick into the wheels of a bike as it went downhill. He didn't care, though. He was gone. It was jumps next. He started doing these poncy jumps, big jumps, mind, right high, big, long jumps, but with his arms up over his head like a bloody ballet dancer. It was beginning to drive me balmy. The spinning was bad enough, but he looked like such a prat doing this. And the noise he made jumping up and down, it went through the whole house, bang, crash, wallop. Christ. Is that another boxing move then? I asked him. Aye. So, did you try the spin then? Aye. Did it work? Not really. Right. Look, I decided to give him a hand. He was just going to get himself into a mess like this. George had obviously decided to let him fanny around on his own. Look, son, you've got to keep your hands up at all times, even when you're leaping. Keep your guard up. I put his gloves up round his chin. Do a jump like that. I can't, Dad. It's balance. You have to be balanced, you see. Then he started to show me how he had to have his arms in the right place so he could leap properly. He had it all thought out, aye. A whole bloody philosophy of prattin' about. I gave up in the end. What's the point? Maybe George was right. Maybe all you could do was let him do his own thing and wait for some common sense to work its way into that thick head of his all on its own. Maybe if he got knocked down enough times, he'd start trying to fight back. I wouldn't count on it myself. The only thing was the bloody 50 pences. I had to scrape and save for that money. I was paying for him to learn how to defend himself, not to prance about like a bloody girl. I suppose George knows what he's doing. I've stopped going down myself, after what happened last time. I've enough on me plate as it is without trying to turn our Billy into something you'd recognise. Tony, for instance. He scares me worse than Billy. He's getting so wild. I'm scared the lad's going to do something stupid. The strike's been going on for 4 months now, with no end in sight. I've used up all me savings. I've never been so poor. Well, it's getting us all down, isn't it? But it's worse for the young ones. I see me mates on the line and down the club and, well, no one says anything. You can't say anything. You can't let the side down. But I reckon I'm not the only one who thinks the same. We've had it this time. Things have changed. It's not going to end soon either. Not this week or next month. Maybe not even this year, but sometime, sooner or later. It's just a question of how much we suffer in the meantime and how quickly they close us down after. I don't blame Tony for being angry, but you don't have to be stupid about it. I can see in his face how much he'd just love to give someone something they'll remember. I felt it myself. The only difference is, I'm not going to do it. He might, let's face it. What's he got to lose? His job? Like hell. We were out shopping the other day, me and him. I was asking him about our Billy, if he'd noticed anything odd about him lately. Odd? What do you want, a list? He said. I'm worried about him. He's a bloody fruitcake. If he mucks around with my records anymore, I'll twat him one. That's all. They're getting all scratched. He's your little brother. I don't care who he is. How am I going to replace them when he's finished ruining them for me? I'm not exactly loaded, am I? I'm sorry I asked. He was fuming. Any little thing sets him off these days. It's not fair, though. It's not Billy's fault we're out. I've got enough on me plate without having to play ma'am to Billy. He needs his mother, I snapped. Aye, and who doesn't? He snapped back. He's a kid. You're a working man, I said. But I was sorry as soon as I'd said it. Tony doesn't mention her to me, and I don't mention her to him. But he must miss her as much as anyone else. It was unfair of me to pull Sarah on him, as if she was Billy's mother and not his. I'm sorry, I told him. But he was already off on something else. It had just come round the aisle of the supermarket. Gary Stewart, with a nice full trolley of groceries. Well, Look at this, says Tony. Careful now, I muttered. It's only a matter of time before he lashes out. And then what? Straight into the neck, that's what. They don't bother much about justice when they're dealing with us lot. They're flinging the book at any miner who gets done, and you can guarantee the company won't be taking on anyone with a record at the end of it. One punch and that's it. Steve Willis got 3 months for kicking someone up the arse. Oh, aye, don't kid yourself. The law's a weapon, and it's not our weapon. When did working men ever have the law on their side? Lawyers, judges, police chiefs. Not exactly from working backgrounds, are they? All right, scab, called Tony. You could tell Gary was a scab just by looking at his trolley. No striker gets a load of shopping like that 6 months into this strike. Gary had it hard. He had a lot of commitments. But who doesn't? It's this sort of thing that's the worst of it. Gary and Tony went to school together. They were mates once. Not anymore. Tony was heading over there. Scabs, eat well, I called out. Got enough food there, have you? What are you doing, eh? Tony banged his basket against Gary's. I wanted to tell him to leave it out, but I bit me lip. He's old enough to look after himself. You were me best mate. First rule of the union, Gary. You know that? Never cross a picket line. We're all fucked, if you don't remember that. We're already fucked, Tony, mate. I'm not your fucking mate. And if we do lose, it'll be because of the likes of you. He was getting worked up, but Gary had had enough. He pushed the trolley and let go. Fucking hell, he said. Bollocks! So it's all my fault then. Fine. He turned his back and walked out. I thought Tony was going to go after him, but he just stood there staring. Shit. Pity he hadn't paid for that food. We could have had it, he said. He picked up a bottle of wine from the top of the heap. It looked like bloody Christmas, that trolley load. Fuck it, he whispered. Fuck it. He's going to lump someone. I know it. I just hope it's not a bloody copper. On the picket line Friday morning, it gets worse. More and more pickets, more and more anger. Everyone's getting in on it. Students, commies, teachers on holiday, people from halfway around the world, and half the bloody police in Great Britain fencing us off from the scabs on their scab bus going in to do their scab labour. You wouldn't get me on that bus. Not for all the money in the Bank of England. If I'm going down, I'm going down fighting. There was eggs going over my head. A couple of bricks. Things are getting tough. I was right next to George. We had our arms linked and the whole crowd was heaving forward. And then the coppers were shoving us back and we were heaving forward again. It was open bloody warfare. There was a lull in between buses. George had a word with me. Listen, Jackie, he says. If it's the 50 pence a session, forget it. I can do without it. I don't do it for the money, you know. What do you want about? The boxing man. I haven't seen hide nor hair of your young Billy for months. I was going to say something, but I thought it might be embarrassing. I was amazed. He's been away every Saturday morning. First I've heard about it, I said. He's always at it. He never has the gloves off. I didn't tell him about the spins and the jumping, though. Send him round to my house and I'll knock some sense into him, said George. Then the police came surging forward. Someone lobbed a brick overhead. Crash! Right into the side of the coach. Scab! 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 We pressed forward so hard I was lifted almost off my feet. If you fell down in the middle of this lot, you'd never get up. If our Billy was pocketing them 50 pences, I'd bloody kill him. He knows how hard things are. I meant to say something to him that evening, but we had a meeting at the social and I forgot. Next morning was a Saturday, and I was going to get him at breakfast before the picket, but I never had a chance. He came running downstairs, stuffing something up his coat, and off out the door before you could say a word. Oi, what about your breakfast? Yelled Tony. See ya. He was off and away. I just caught sight of him disappearing round the corner as I stuck me head out of the door. Billy! Billy! I yelled. But he was gone. I thought, what the hell's he up to? What's he doing now?
I was jumping so high I could see out the window and right over the shed where they keep the sports gear. Miss kept saying to me, it's not just height, Billy. Where's your control? You're not concentrating. Well, I was concentrating. I was concentrating on getting up high. It just made me feel so good, floating up over the heads of them little lasses. They were like little bits of fluff floating around my knees. I could do all the pliés and the jumps and the fond de bras and all that. Miss says I've got promise. She spends half the lesson just teaching me. She doesn't bother with the others half the time. They're always moaning on about it.
Can we have a go, Miss? When's it our turn, Miss? It's not fair, Miss, just because he's a boy, Miss.
Shut up, Debbie. I'm busy. Oh, I'd got right into it. I was looking forward to the Saturday lesson all week. Once it started, I could just go on forever. Was right what Debbie said about stamina. It may look easy, but it's not. It's hard. I'd got so fit, it'd make me better at footy and running and everything. I could keep going for hours. Hey, I must have been mad. It had to happen. I was kidding myself. Michael kept warning me. He'll find out. What you gonna do then? I knew he was right, but it was like, if I kept on doing it and not thinking about it, nothing had happened. I kept thinking, just this week, just one more lesson, then I'll go back to the boxing. But I got more and more into it and better at it, and Dad never turned up to watch me at George's anymore. I just thought it was going to go on forever. And of course, when it did happen, it wasn't just questions and getting suspicious and everything. He only bloody turned up right in the middle of class. Pick up your leg, Billy. Swing it. Swing 2-3, round 2-3, up 2-3. What do you call that? Let's have a bit of grace, Billy Elliot. I was swinging my leg round, slow circle, trying to make it as smooth as cream. And I looked up and there was my dad standing in the door. Christ. I just froze in me tracks. I thought I was going to die. I thought he was going to rush out and kill me. Miss was still going on. Up 2-3, swing 2-3, like a princess, Deborah. Beautiful necks, 1-2-3. What's up with you? She said that when she saw me standing still. Then the music stopped and she turned round and saw Dad. He'd gone blood red.
You. Out. Now. He snapped.
I could see her, out the corner of my eye, leaning forwards towards him as if she could eat him for breakfast, and she would have done and all. Well, she'd have tried anyhow. She doesn't take anything sitting down. The last thing I wanted was a screaming match between her and me dad. I started walking towards him.
Please, miss, don't,
I hissed as I went past. It was so embarrassing. Dad thought I was a pansy for dancing. She thought I was a pansy for not standing up to him. I'd had it. The door banged behind me. He grabbed my arm and pushed me in front.
Right, you've got some explaining to do, he said.
And he marched me home. He didn't say a word all the way back. That's how he does it. He makes you sweat. All the way home, down Union Street, up the High Street, along Macefield Road. Not a word. The bastard. Back home, he pointed at a chair behind the table, staring at me all the while he was taking his coat off. Then he sat down opposite me, and he still hadn't said a word. See? The longer he goes without saying anything, the worse trouble you're in. This time I was wondering if he was ever going to speak to me again. I knew what he wanted. He wanted me to say sorry. Well, I wasn't going to. He could wait forever. It was stupid. What had I done wrong?
Ballet, he said at last.
So, what's wrong with ballet? I said. Me nan was sitting on a chair by the window, eating a pork pie and watching us like we were on the telly. I looked at her. It was easier than having to look at him. I could see him turning red again out the corner of me eye.
What's wrong with ballet? Look at me, Billy. Are you trying to wind me up?
It's perfectly normal, I said, turning to face him.
Normal?
I was scared. He'd gone all white around the lips.
I used to go to Bali, said me nan.
See? I said. For your nan? For girls, Billy. Not for lads. Lads do football or boxing or wrestling or summat.
What lads do wrestling? I asked, and I had him there because no one I know does wrestling round here.
You know what I mean?
I don't know what you mean.
Don't start, Billy.
I don't see what's wrong with it, that's all.
You know perfectly well what's wrong with it.
No, I don't.
You do.
No, I don't.
Yes, you bloody well do. Who do you think I am? You know quite nicely.
It's just dancing, that's all.
What's wrong with that?
The thing is... All right, I knew what he meant. At least, I used to know. Bally isn't what boys do. It's not football and boxing and being hard. And it's not going on strike and standing up for yourself and sticking it out with your mates and all hanging in together. It's not mining. It's not the union. It's not what we do. Well, maybe I'm not mining either. And even if I was, so what? Why, isn't it what we do? Just because no one's ever done it before, that's all. Well, once I've done it, it is what we do because I'm one of us too. It doesn't have to be like him or not at all. Just because I like dancing doesn't mean I'm turning into someone else.
Does it?
You're asking for a hiding.
No, I'm not. Honest, Dad, I'm not.
As far as he was concerned, I was just being stubborn. But I really didn't understand why it was so bloody important that I shouldn't do bally.
You are, Billy.
It's not just puffs, Dad. Some bally dancers are as fit as athletes. It's hard work. What about Wayne Sleep?
Wayne Sleep?
I wish I hadn't said that. Wayne. Even as I said it, I remembered how it sounded when Debbie first said the name to me.
Wayne Sleep?
Poof, that's what it sounded like. But now he'd had enough.
Listen, son, from now on you can forget about bally dancing and you can forget about the fucking boxing as well. I've been busting me ass for those 50 pences. You know how tight money is. You can stay here and look after your nan. Got it? Good.
I could have been a professional dancer if I'd had the chance, said Nan.
Will you shut up? Dad turned round and roared at her, the sod. He had no business speaking to her like that. I jumped right up and screamed in his face. I hate you! You're a bastard!
He made a lunge for me, but I was away. He was up and after me.
Billy!
But I was gone.
Suddenly I had tears streaming down my face, and I knew he'd just think I was being a puff all over again. I could hear him bellowing, but I'd had it with him, the bastard. I was out the door and up the street and across the field and down the beck and gone. Bastard! It was the only thing I'd ever been really good at, and he was stopping me doing it. Bastard! 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 I ran for miles. That was it. That was really it. He meant it. If Dad says something like that, he sticks to it. If he caught me anywhere near the social, he'd leather me. I ended up down on the beach, miles away. It was a big, windy day, waves coming in, crashing on the beach. I can understand why me nan comes down here. Just listening to the water munching away on the stones, it clears your head, calms you down, helps you think. I started chucking stones at the waves and watching the water swallowing them up. The sun was going down. I'd been out hours.
There was Everington behind me on the hill. I was on the posh side of town, Missy's side. I wondered if I'd been posh like her, I'd have been allowed to do bally. But it wasn't that. I was the only boy in the class. Middle class, working class, it makes no difference. Boys don't do bally, full stop. There wasn't anything she could do about it. Actually, her house was a lot smaller than I thought it'd be. I'd only ever seen those houses from the beach before.
was more of a bungalow than a house when you got up close. It had a garden at the front and a garage and all that, and it was on its own, not a terrace like ours. But when you got inside, it was a lot smaller than you might think. I don't know why they bother building houses on their own unless they're bigger. I mean, what for? I went up and knocked. I didn't know why. My dad was my dad. What could she do? Middle-class Millie. The door opened and there she was, breathing fag smoke. "Oh, it's you, is it?" she said. I said, "He'd kill me if he knew I'd come here." "He stopped you coming to classes, has he?"
"It's not his fault, miss," I said.
"And that's fine by you, is it?"
I shrugged. "I suppose so," I said.
I wasn't going to slag Dad off to her. I don't care what she thought of him. He's still me Dad.
"You should stand up to him," she said.
"You don't know what he's like, miss."
"Well, that blows it," she said, and she dragged on her fag and blew smoke all over me.
"Blimey, miss," I said, trying to waft it away.
"Sorry."
"Blows what?"
I said, but she'd already turned back into the house.
"Debbie," she yelled, "it's Billy. Come and see to him, will you?"
I followed her into the sitting room. I don't think I'd been in a middle-class house before. It was funny. It was, like I say, not much bigger than ours, and the furniture wasn't any better either. I don't know what I'd been expecting, antiques or something, but it was just normal stuff, quite old, tatty, really. I thought, maybe it's not so bloody marvellous being middle-class after all. I sat down on the settee, and in a bit Debbie came down and sat next to me. Her dad was sitting there hunched up in a chair with a drink in his mitt. "Well, well, well," he went. "Everington's little Jean Kelly, isn't it? I've heard a lot about you. Your dad down the pit, is he?"
"Yeah."
"Must be hard on the family being out on strike." "He is out on strike, is he?"
"Course," I said.
"Don't worry, son." He stuck his nose in his drink and swallowed a mouthful. "It won't take long."
"Long as it takes,"
I told him, and he glared at me.
"Tom, be quiet," said Miss.
"If they had a ballot, they'd be back tomorrow. It's just a few bloody commies stirring things up. Let's face it, they don't have a bloody leg to stand on. It stands to reason. Some pits just aren't economical. If it costs more money to pay blokes like your dad to dig the stuff up out the ground than you get when you sell it, well, what does that tell you?" I shrugged. I don't know what he was so cross about. You'd have thought my dad was out on strike just to get him. What difference did it make to him, anyhow? I suppose he thought that just because I liked Bally, that made me think like him. Well, it didn't, did it? Miss came out the kitchen and started setting the table.
"Tom, don't go on at him."
"Well, you want to think about it, son. What sort of country is this going to be if people keep jobs that don't make any money, eh?"
"Tom!"
"If it were up to me, I'd close the lot of them down tomorrow."
"Yeah, but it isn't up to you," I said.
"Now listen, son," he began. But Miss jumped in right off.
"I said leave him be, Tom," she snapped. "He's a guest here, not one of your friends down the pub."
"What do you do, Mr. Wilkinson?" I asked him.
"He's been made redundant," said Debbie, before he could get a word in.
"Didn't you go out on strike to save your job, then?"
I said, and I swear he blushed red like a little kid. I thought he was going to jump up and lump me one, but he sat there scowling and frowning, and he never said another word.
I had dinner there. Later on, up in her room, Debbie told me all about her mam and dad. We were sitting next to each other on her bed, and she had this little doll sat on her lap she was playing with, and she told me everything. It was none of my business, really. She said her dad drank too much. She said once he drank so much he pissed himself in the armchair and they had to get a new cushion for it. She said he'd had an affair, and he was unhappy because Miss wouldn't sleep with him.
They have separate beds and everything, she said.
Does she not like sex, like? I asked her.
I think she used to like it, Debbie said. Don't you miss your mum?
Well, but I didn't want to tell her about my mum. I don't think about her most of the time. Sometimes I forget that she's dead. I go into the kitchen or one of the other rooms and I think she's just gone out to the shops or that she's next door with me nan, or even once that she was bending down on the other side of the table picking something up off the floor that had fallen down. But then she never stands up and she never comes back from the shops. And when I go next door, my nan's in there on her own. It seems impossible that my mam's not there any more. Maybe that's what she means in her letter when she says that she's there for me forever, even though she's dead. Maybe she really is there all the time, but I just can't see her. But I never said any of that to Debbie. So does your mam not have sex at all then? I asked her.
No. She's unfulfilled. That's why she does dancing.
I couldn't believe my ears. I said, you mean she does dancing instead of sex? Your family's weird. I always thought that if you were middle class and you had a mam and a dad and all, then that was all normal-like. But instead of that, here I was in a middle class house and it was all completely weird.
No, they're not, said Debbie.
She put her doll down and shifted over closer to me. She was so close, we were almost touching, and it made me feel uncomfortable. I moved away slightly. They are, though, I said. They're all mental. She shuffled up closer again, so I bonked her on the head with a pillow. She ducked round to grab on, and we had this great pillow fight, whacking each other with the pillows. I didn't do it too hard, though. She was just a girl, and I didn't want to hurt her. I kept pushing her away and holding her wrists with one hand and bobbing her with the other, and then I climbed on top of her and sat on her legs. She was screeching and giggling. And then, you know, while I was struggling for her hands, my hand brushed against her top and I felt her tits. I never realised she had tits yet. They were only small. It was a bit of a shock. I stopped, and she stopped, and we looked at each other. It felt funny then, sitting on top of her. She reached up and stroked my face. It felt nice. She was very gentle, but it was embarrassing because, you know, it made my willy go stiff. I got off. See, you're a nutter, you, I told her. She sat up and looked the other way. I didn't know what to do. There was feathers floating on the air where the pillow had leaked. I wafted them at her so they landed on her jumper and she sat there picking them off. Debbie, it's time for Billy to go home. It was Miss calling up the stairs. I jumped up. What would she say if she thought I'd been touching her daughter's tits in her bedroom? Even though I never meant it. Come on, Billy, I'll give you a lift to the corner. See you, Debbie.
Bye, Billy.
She sat there with her hands on her lap, not looking at me, as I walked out the door. Miss gave me a lift just round the corner from where I lived. She would have taken me all the way home, but I didn't want to get caught in her car. She pulled up on some waste ground near our house.
Right then, she said.
I didn't move, though. I just sat there for a bit. We hadn't said anything about it, not really. She turned the car off, sighed, and took herself a fag out. This'll sound strange, Billy, she said, but I was thinking of auditioning for the Royal Ballet School. I thought, Jesus, she's keen on that dancing then. I thought, I know this is stupid, but it was just after that talk with Debbie, like, I thought he must be having no sex was making her want to do something stupid like that. Aren't you a bit old, miss? I asked her. She snorted. Not me, Billy. You? I'm the teacher. Christ! She rolled her eyes. They hold auditions in Newcastle, she said, and gave me a long look. Ballet school? Me? But that'd be something else. I mean, it was a hobby, that's all. But if you went to a special school... Can you do it as a job then, miss? Course you can, if you're good enough. I'd never be good enough. I hardly know out. Look. She twisted round in her seat to face me and blew a spurt of smoke over her shoulder. Listen, they're not interested in how much ballet you know. They teach you that. That's why they're a ballet school. It's how you move, how you express yourself that's important. Express what? I didn't know what she meant. It's just dancing, isn't it? I think you're good enough, she said. And that was the only time she ever told me I was any good. It'd be an awful lot of work, she said. I'm banned, I reminded her. Aye, well, maybe I should have a word with him. No! I almost jumped out of the seat. Miss, don't! For God's sake! She puffed away on her fag for a bit. Then she said, You know, I could teach you on your own if you want.
I've got no money.
I'm not doing it for the money, she snapped, as if I'd offended her. But what about Dad? He doesn't have to know, does he?
What about me boxing and that?
I wasn't asking her just about the boxing, like, I wasn't even allowed to do that anymore. It was about being one of the lads, you know, being a boy, that sort of thing.
For fuck's sake, Billy, if you want to piss around with your little mates, that's fine by me. This is serious.
All right, don't lose your blob.
Blob, she said, and we both laughed.
I thought about it a bit. It was a bit much, wasn't it, doing things behind me dad's back and that. Training to be a ballet dancer. But, wow, you know, that'd be summat, wouldn't it?
So, we could do it in private, like.
Just you and me. No one else need know.
I don't know. Behind me dad's back. And her doing dancing instead of sex, it was all a bit...
Miss, you don't fancy me you're out, do you?
She turned and stared at me in amazement. Then she looked furious.
No, Billy, I do not fancy you, strange to say. Now piss off, will you?
I stared at her. She was really cross. There was a long pause. She nodded at the door.
Go on then,
she told me.
I thought, fuck it. What had I got to lose?
Piss off yourself, I said. Then I smiled at her, and she smiled back. I turned to get out of the car.
See you Monday then, she said. 6 o'clock at the social hall. I'll be waiting.
I didn't say yay or nay. I just stood there, facing away from her with the door still open.
And bring something with you, something personal, anything you want. Something to give us an idea for the dance.
What dance?
Your audition dance, blockhead?
I shut the door and she drove off. I thought, what am I getting into? I still hadn't got a clue if I was going to go there or not.
The doorbell went and I sneaked to the bedroom window for a peek down. I was wearing a violet frock, a pair of tights, my mum's red shoes and a little crocheted cardigan my sister used to wear. It looked outrageous. If it had been anyone else down there, I'd have pretended I was out. I thought, I'll show him. I'll show Billy Elliot. Well, he couldn't say out, could he? He's the bloody ballet dancer, not me. I ran downstairs and opened the door and he nearly fell backwards off the step. Then he pushed me back in through the door before anyone saw. What are you doing, man?
Nothing. Just dressing up, I said.
Whose dress is that?
My sister's.
Are you coming up or what?
He followed me upstairs to Mam's bedroom.
Hey, you, I told him. Are you trying to look up my dress? You dirty little bugger.
Get off.
Has she given it to you?
She doesn't know.
All right, man. It's just a bit of fun.
Look, I did a little swirl and curtsied. He was worrying me, It looks so scared. You know what I felt like doing? Just to scare him, like. I felt like running across and giving him a big kiss. That'd scare him half to death. Billy Elliot, what's he got to talk about? If you can prance about in ballet gear, I can wear my sister's clothes, can't I? I don't prance about in ballet gear. What do you wear then? Don't you wear one of them tutus? No, you dope. They're just for the girls. What do you wear then? I asked him. Just my sports gear. My shorts and t-shirt and that. Really? I thought he must wear a tutu or something like it. But it was just his shorts and his t-shirt. I think, you know, if I'd have known that, I might not have let him see me wearing my sister's gear. But it was too late now. I began to root about in the wardrobe for something that would suit Billy. It'd be a right gas if I got him to dress up too. What about this one? I pulled out a skirt, but he shook his head. Nah, I suppose it's not really your colour, is it? I don't care whose colour it is. I'm not wearing a bloody skirt. I thought you'd like it. Just because I dance doesn't mean to say I'm a puff, you puff. Just because I'm wearing my sister's dress doesn't make me one either, you puff. I said that just to stick up for myself. But to tell you the truth, I do wonder about myself sometimes. I mean, putting on my sister's stuff, that's just a gas. It doesn't turn me on or out. On the other hand, well, I like Billy. I like it when he shows me his dance moves under the old bridge when we should be doing cross-country. I like it when he jumps and spins. I like it when he sits close and tells me his secrets and when we have little fights. So I do wonder about myself. But he doesn't have to know that, does he? I put the skirt back and went over to my mum's dressing table where the makeup was, and I dusted a bit of blusher onto my cheeks. I was doing it to tease him as much as anything. What are you doing now? Said Billy. I'm just trying it on. Christ! I smiled at him in the mirror, and he smiled back. It was just a gas. I was a bit disappointed he didn't want to join in, though. Come here, you! I jumped up and grabbed him, shoved him back onto the bed. Get off! Stay still. He did as I said, and I started to put lipstick on him. It was funny, him sitting there holding his face up to me while I put it on. You know what? He looked good. It really changes your face, lipstick. I wonder that more men don't do it. It's quite fashionable nowadays to wear makeup. He had nice lips, Billy. A pretty bow on top. The colour suited him and all. Won't we get into trouble? He asked. He got up and looked in the mirror. Nah. Hey, Michael, look. He leaned forward and kissed the mirror. There was a lovely kiss shape on the glass. Billy leaned forward to have a better look. Just like a girl's kiss, he said. Girls' lips and boys' lips are just the same, I told him. Do you reckon? I stared at the kiss. I wanted to kiss the kiss, but I didn't. It's just the lipstick and stuff that makes them look different. You're weird. What if we get caught? Don't be daft. My dad does it all the time. It's true. Well, not all the time, but I have seen him wearing makeup and putting my mum's clothes on and stuff. There was no one else in the house. He thought I was out. He was just doing it to please himself, I reckon. If he did it once, I reckon he must do it all the time. Really? Billy was amazed. All the time, I told him. I just wanted him to know it was perfectly normal. I'll bet everyone does it when they think no one's looking. It's fun. Billy sat down at the dressing table and looked at himself in the mirror.
Michael, do you think being a ballet dancer would be better than being a miner? He said. That was a tough one. I don't know, I told him. It's just... Well, I've got this audition in Newcastle in a couple of weeks. What for? For to go to ballet school. Ballet school in Newcastle. London. Would you have to go with your Tory and everybody? Nah, I'd have to go on my own. Eh, that's a bit steep. Can't you be a ballet dancer here then? Didn't be stupid. Aye, ballet in Newcastle, no chance of that. You know, when he first started dancing, he asked me to join in with him. But I said, no way, no way. Can you imagine it? You have to admire him, though. He's always getting teased at school and that, kids picking on him. But he was never scared of a fight, or Billy. Well, he'd never have stuck with the ballet if he was, would he? Because he was bound to get one. Round here, it's about the quickest way of getting your face kicked in, I reckon. Look at me. I'd run a mile to get out of a fight. It's a waste of time. But people are always picking on me anyhow. If there was something I could give up that would stop people picking on me, I'd do it. But there's not. You can't give up being just yourself. My dad always says that I'm different and I should be proud of it. But round here, being different isn't such a good thing at all. It's a bloody problem. In infants, I was always getting picked on. In primary, I was always getting picked on. We're going to be starting high school soon, and I'm going to be picked on there and all, I bet you. But Billy's always been a good friend to me. He never minded me being different. I don't know why. I always thought he wasn't at all different himself. He always seemed to be exactly the same as everyone else, except that he stood up for me instead of picking on me. I always thought he could have got on with any of them, except for some reason he ended up with me. Like a sort of accident. Like he'd made friends with me before he realised how weird I was, and then just stuck with me. It always used to worry me that one day he'd realise I was all wrong and drop me, but he never did. And then he took up ballet, and after that he was just as weird as I was, and I stopped worrying about it. And now here he was, planning on going down to London to be a ballet dancer. So, when are you going? I asked him. I don't know. I haven't even got in yet. It might never happen. I thought about it. So, what does your dad say then? Doesn't know. Are you not going to tell him? Not yet, anyhow. He'll go fucking mental. Nah, he won't. He'll be pleased. Then he can rent your room out, I told him. I was just joking, but Billy looked really pissed off. Don't say that, he told me. Anyhow, he added, he couldn't rent it out